La tela de la araña, la uña del dragón, te lleva a los infiernos, ella es tu adicción. Te besa y te desnuda con su baile demencial, te cierre los ojitos y te dejas arrastrar, te dejas arrastrar. Ella es tu final,
live la vida loca.
Y
no, you have to sing live la vida loca in English.
No, you
don't. Living the crazy lifestyle.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Worst Foot Forward, where each week we select the best of the worst. I am one half of your hosts, Ben Vanderveld. Tina Turner once sang, "You're simply the best, better than all the rest, better than anyone I ever met." However, Tina did marry Ike and also star in Mad Max Thunderdome alongside a racist, drunk misogynist, so maybe we shouldn't trust her choice of men. This week, we are wandering down into the bottom of the bargain basement bin and located right next to a straight-to-DVD version of Aladdin 5, The Alimony. It is Barry McStay.
It's the only thing straight about me.
Yeah.
It's the straight-to-DVD bit. That's nice. How are you?
Yeah, mate. I'm tired and sad. I'm not going to fuck around. This is the lovely thing about podcasts. I don't have to put on smiles and tits and teeth. The world is full of charlatans and villains, and we're all going to hell in a handcart.
And is weeping salt tears into a Moomin tea mug at the moment.
Oh, God, I can't be really sad when there's a merry little Moomin on my mug, can I?
Merry little Moomin on my mug. I know. It's serious. Excellent. I'm going to introduce our guest. I'm going to get straight to it. I'm going to save you from having to talk too much about the sad things in the world.
Please do.
Our guest is one of the happy things in the world. He's an actor and a comedian, one third of the acclaimed sketch group The Penny Dreadfuls, with whom he created 5 full-length stage shows, 2 radio series, and 2 one-off radio plays, and a partridge in a pear tree.
It's now 8.
It's now 8?
Radio plays, and we've had 9th commissioned.
Good Jesus, your Wikipedia is really out of date.
Well, and David edited it, and then I think since we're, you know, busy having careers and he's just had a baby, I don't think he's taken to editing our Wikipedia page. And we don't have an agent for the group, so.
With whom he created 5 full-length stage shows and an indeterminate number of radio plays and series, many of them featuring swashbuckling Victorian gents and swooning ladies, all named Susan. As a solo stand-up, he was nominated for the Best Newcomer Award at the 2011 Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and his show Tom Tuck Goes Straight to DVD was adapted for BBC Radio 4. He co-founded the Alternative Comedy Memorial Society. He has appeared on TV shows like Horrible Histories and Fresh Meat. He's a very fine, legitimate theatre performer, recently touring the UK in Death of a Salesman, and according to his Wikipedia, has lived in countries as diverse as Sri Lanka, Denmark, Egypt, Malawi, Zimbabwe, and the Philippines. Part man, part indie band tour schedule, it's international playboy, wit, raconteur, and all-round good egg, Tom Tuck.
Hello, BB McGess.
Right.
And BVDV.
Hello.
While we're on letters, your name gives me palpitations when I'm having to write it down.
What, Titty? Tom,
no, yes, that aside, Tom's got a rogue H in the Tom.
Well, no, not if you consider that the full name is Thomas.
This is true.
I would say that most Toms are dropping an H.
That's true, yeah. They're being lazy. To cover myself, I will subconsciously be writing your name down and will put a H in the Tuck just to be safe.
Well, so did the
Tom
Metro.
Tom Thuck, yes.
The first ever listening I got for a stand-up thing.
Did it as well.
In the Metro, Tom without an H, Tuck with an H.
We know there's meant to be a H there somewhere.
As if the surname wasn't, you know, close enough already.
Yeah, it's nearly a spoonerism.
You know, try right now not to think of a word that rhymes with Tuck.
Yeah,
now you know what school was like.
As someone who spent about 10 years of their schooling life known as Benderveld, I really, really feel your pain.
McGay. There we go. It's a hat trick. School children are so imaginative.
Fuck Bender and Gay.
Yeah. Attorneys at law.
Another sexual harassment case.
Oh, no. That's what we specialise in.
Who else were they going to turn to?
Yeah. We always ask your guest, Tom, what you are worst at in the world.
Probably having a career.
Oh, really? You're doing all right.
No, I'm all right, like, making work, doing work, going to auditions and things, but any sort of plan. You know, I think people who, because I didn't go to drama school, people who did, like, are told all the things they should do. And I don't do any of the things that...
I went and I don't do any of the things either.
I don't know what you're supposed to do.
So if someone asks you, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
With fingers crossed, not in a ditch.
It's a positive outlook. Yeah,
it's worked just about so far. What do you think is the thing that I should do?
Do you have business cards?
Not since 2012. But I'm very easy to find.
That's true.
I'm Turley God across the internet.
That's good. Yeah. Having a unified name.
And TurleyGod.com as well. That is a half day.
Also, is there a tuck signal that they can project on the sky?
I think if you just throw a bottle of port in the air, I'll catch it.
But maybe changing your name to Turley God, because then it'll be... That's the one that your Twitter, everything else is Turley God, apart from your actual name. But put a H in it and make it Turley God.
Well, like, if you just Google Turley God, like, I think 8 out of the 10 results on the first page of Google are me.
All right.
That's going to really annoy Edmund or Edgar or whoever in King Lear uses it.
Well done.
Thanks, pal.
Well done. Yes. It's Edmund.
It's Edmund. He's the bad one.
He's the bad one. No, it's Edgar. Because when he's on the run, he dresses the beggar, poor Tom. And at the end of one of his speeches where he's pretending to be a lunatic, he goes, poor Tom, poor Turley God, poor Tom. And in the annotated edition I had for A-level, it said, there is no satisfactory explanation for this word. So just I thought, like right, I'll have that.
Yeah, yeah. Because there is an explanation for Tom Tuck.
Yeah.
Well, I alluded to it in the introduction. This is one of Tom's suggestions. We're going to talk about the world's worst best of. And I'm presuming you mean best of albums, right?
Yeah. Best of, Ultimate Collection, Greatest Hits, whatever, however, however the terminology lands. But
I mean,
the worst
compilation album.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
Right. Single artist compilation album.
Why? Oh, that knocks out a lot of the now that's what I call.
Yeah. Because they aren't best ofs.
They're not best ofs. Okay.
Barely mediocres of.
Yeah, really are.
I've got a really good game with those, actually.
Okay, what?
Depends how much time. Do you want to play?
Go on, yeah. We'll edit it out if it's too long.
I mean, it will take a while. It does take a while. Well, I'll tell you the rules.
Tell us the rules.
Okay. We call it Squad Bingo because it comes from a game we invented with some people from Dublin, actually.
Oh, lovely.
Well, Trinity people, not all of them Dubliners, where you pick either World Cup or European Championships and a squad. And it can't be the most recent iteration of either of those tournaments. So it can't be the most recent World Cup or the most recent European Championship.
Yes. Yeah,
so you got, like, France 98... England squad.
Okay, good.
Then you see how many players you can name.
How far down the list you can get. Yeah,
And so if you get one right, you get told their squad number.
Ah.
And then so you can go, oh, I've still got number 3 to guess at. And you're allowed 3 hints, which are age at the time, position and club at the time.
Yeah.
And there's also an extra rule, you can ask someone called Dave. But for people who don't like football, we've made a different version, which you pick a Now album, and then you just guess at artists
and the track listing.
Yeah. So, and then you get given what the track list is.
I see.
And it's extra difficult because on Now That's What I Call Music 34, Darius Fasel actually has a single on there. Not true.
Wow. Oh, that's Darius Danesh, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then you can go for a bonus point to guess the song.
Ah, nice. That's quite tricky because if you get the number of the Now album, you kind of have to have the year as well.
Well, no, but so you name the number of the album. Okay, so right. It's one you had or one you're pretty sure was around when you were listening to Radio 1 or
yeah
24 to 38 was my Now number. Like, you know how mathematicians have an Erdős number for how close they were to the mathematician Erdős in terms of teachers?
Oh, I think
every human of our generation has a Now number.
Wait, what's the Erdős? Is that like the six circles of Kevin Bacon?
Yeah, exactly. That's where it comes from.
Oh, right. Excellent. Yeah. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
Hungarian, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm just judging that from the name. I'm very good at that.
Yeah.
He invented the multiplication symbol.
Did he?
No.
Come on. In such a gullible mood this morning. The problem is that, for me, that, you know, Bach didn't appear on any of the Now albums. My pop knowledge is a little bit ropey.
Could you do football then?
I might be better at football. I'm willing to have a stab at some of the Now stuff. If we do something for the late 90s, early noughties, something around then.
Okay.
Tom's getting his phone out.
I'll just get Wikipedia up.
So thing anxious.
Is, I was about to say that this is a perfect game for a long, long car journey.
Yeah, yeah.
So strap in for a 4.5-hour episode. Yeah,
any of you who you know are on the way to visit relatives for Christmas.
Which number?
What's something in the late 90s? 47, 48?
47. I will then give you the date it was released as well.
Okay.
Now 47 was released in November 2000.
So. Oh, okay, not bad. All right, pretty close. Okie
dokie. So,
November 2000.
So, just...
Who was still together at that point?
Well, I know this from listening to an episode of the Football Ramble this week.
I've done this with somebody, this Now one with somebody.
Have you? Yeah. Oh, interesting.
I know that the Spice Girls released their last single in 2000, so Viva Forever?
It's not your go.
Oh.
You didn't pick the Now.
I get to go. The Now number. Can I have Viva Forever, please?
No, you just guessed the
Spice Girls.
Spice Girls.
I would have said
one
Spice
point.
Girls anyway, actually.
Spice Girls.
I would have
Girls.
Said them anyway. I'm sorry, Ben.
The song is Holla.
Holla.
Which I do not remember.
I don't know either.
Let's see if they've got one on CD 2, because sometimes they do.
The year 2000
they
is...
They do not have one on CD 2.
I've got another one.
Okay.
There's a Ben's go now.
Is it Mike?
No.
Oh, do I keep going until I get one wrong?
Yeah.
Okay. Eminem.
Ooh.
Just you know, listeners, Tom is looking exactly like Susie Dent in Dictionary Corner. Right? No.
Oh,
I
just
said,
okay,
oh, now so I've got someone else now.
B.B. McGuess. 1 point.
Okay. I should have gone safe with Eminem.
B.V.D.V.
Like, the year 2000 is a real valley for my musical knowledge, because it's in between Britpop and all of the bands.
Yeah, yeah.
But oddly,
after
the. I mean, this is appropriate for this podcast, because the year 2000 was a real high point for new metal, which is unquestionably the worst form of music in history.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I think there's no qualms about that.
So I'm going to suggest that Limp Bizkit appear on Now 47.
That's a good guess. I would have thought you'd have been right then.
Yeah, well, the people of Now have got a little bit of erudition in who they like to feature on their album, so well done those guys.
Can I have Dido, please?
You can have Dido. And you...
Surely.
Are...
Surely.
Wrong.
No, surely! I went from Eminem to Dido. Is she not 2000? God, I feel so embarrassed.
Should we just play first of three?
Yeah.
1-0. This is a very long penalty shootout.
It's the Irish thing. I'm taking Ireland's football tactics. One goal and then stonewall.
Poor Northern Ireland. They managed to get a 0-0. That penalty.
Yeah, we're getting to the stage where the referee's going to be going, should we take a fucking penalty and see if one can go in?
Yeah.
The year 2000, what albums do I own from the year 2000? It was before the Strokes. Let's go for Wilco. Obviously not Wilco, they're far too alternative Americana.
Isn't that a DIY shop?
Probably, that is probably the worst guess I've ever heard. What a stupid guess!
Look, literally, all my head is going is like Dizzy Gillespie, Shostakovich, John Cage. None of those things are likely to appear on a Now That's What I Call Music compilation.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No.
No, oh, for fuck's sake. I thought Californication's around there.
The Red Hot Chili Pipers. No.
No.
Kylie Minogue. Oh, he's checking. He's checking.
Bing, 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 bing.
Yes!
Bing, bing. Kids. It's Robbie Williams. And you should have gone with Robbie Williams.
I should have gone with Robbie Williams, of course. He's now out of the running, isn't he?
Well, you've got the point for Kylie, you can't get the point for Robbie Williams or for kids.
Oh. Ooh.
Well, in that case...
I get another guess. Hold your horses.
Oh, come on!
Can I have Robbie Williams, please?
You can! Bing, 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 bing. Track one, Rock DJ.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, so that's 3-0.
3-0.
Some you could have gone for?
Coldplay?
No.
Coldplay.
Craig David, Seven Days.
I was going to say Craig David. Elton John, is Elton John on there? Blue?
No. Britney Spears.
Britney, of course.
S Club 7.
Christina Aguilera.
Anastasia. Craig David. Samantha Mumba.
No.
All Saints. Oh. David Gray, Babylon.
These are all classics. How do we miss this?
U2, Beautiful Day. Oh. Bon Jovi, It's My Life. Life is a Roller Coaster by Ronan Keating. NSYNC. Oh, no, Coldplay's there, sorry.
Oh, that's relief.
There we go.
Yeah, Trouble. Oh, no, you actually won already because Kylie has a one on disc two
disc
as well.
Disc two, there we go.
Billy Piper. So when you had said Red Hot Chili Pipers, I was like...
Barry, what did you find in your hunt for the world's worst compilation album?
The Now thing. Do you know where the title of the Now That's Like Our Music albums comes from?
Oh, no.
Yeah, fun fact. It's from a 1920s poster for Danish bacon.
Now that's what I call bacon.
Yeah, you'd imagine. No, Richard Branson saw this poster of a pig listening to a chicken singing, and the pig has like a thought bubble going, now that's what I call music. And so he bought it for his cousin, who worked with Branson at Virgin Records in the early 80s, and had it, and it was behind his cousin's desk. And so when they were coming up with this idea for compilation albums, they thought, that's a great title for a compilation album. So yeah, 1920s Danish bacon.
I preferred Now That's What I Call Bacon 25.
some greatest hits albums, best-selling solo greatest hits album in the world?
Solo, Bob Marley Legend.
No, it's...
That's And the Wailers, technically,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it's a group.
Okay, solo. Madonna Immaculate.
Madonna Immaculate collection. And I've only got the best-selling group album for a group in the UK, so not it's not Bob Marley and the Wailers. No, close. That's the next best one.
Oh, right. It's not the fucking Eagles, is it?
No, another
What's
good
What's wrong
one.
With the Eagles?
Everything's wrong with the Eagles.
Fuck off, mate.
Don't make him walk already.
Fuck off, mate.
Look, Hotel California's got some great guitar solos in it, but after that, it is the most mediocre beige pop rock in the world.
I'm just going to move Tom's coffee away in case he throws it in.
Heartache Tonight, New Kid in Town, Life in the Fast Lane. These are all good songs.
They're all songs that I didn't get around to listening to because the first three I listened to after Hotel California were so bad.
Oh, those are good. Just listen to Heartache Tonight. It is very good.
All right. Is it as good as Wilco?
I haven't given Wilco enough time.
Okay. Well, you are more understanding than I am.
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, it's Queen, Greatest Hits, Volume 1.
Of course,
it is.
Volume 2 is also in the top 10 as well.
Wait, it's also wonderful.
Great.
Wonderful.
Volume 3, not so much.
I have words to say on that.
Yeah, good, we'll leave that. Do you know the Rolling Stones' best-selling album is their Greatest Hits, Hot Rocks.
Hot Rocks, mm-hmm. But Hot Rocks is a good collection.
Yeah.
Like, it hangs together well, because they have so many hits, sustains two discs.
Do you know the story of the genesis of Hot Rocks?
It's that they didn't want it released, and the record company just chopped it out anyway.
Yeah, their manager sort of swindled them into selling the rights to the songs to their old record company, and so even though they've found new management and a new record company, they just put out this album, and it remains to this day their best-selling album, despite them being really pissed off about it.
So I imagine Keith both doesn't care and can't remember.
They still get, you know, the songwriting royalties. Yeah. I think Keith has very little.
Yeah, Mick will be well fucked off about it.
My own personal favourite best of album is R.E.M.'s In Time, 1988 to 2003, the best of R.E.M.
Which includes Up, which is a very good album.
Yeah.
Beautiful album.
Yeah,
that we can agree
on.
My Most Beautiful, what a song that is.
Yeah, and my favourite song of all time, Night Swimming, also on it. number one in the UK, number eight on the USA album charts, went platinum. But if I was to ask you to name sort of three or four famous R.E.M. songs, like baseline knowledge of music, the three or four most famous R.E.M. songs.
Shiny Happy People.
Not on the album.
Losing My Religion.
Yes.
It's the End of the World as We Know
Not
It.
Not on the album. And the other one you would possibly say would be Everybody Hurts, which is also on the album. So of their four most famous songs, two of them are not on this Best Of album. I don't know why they don't have It's the End of the World as They Know It on the album, but notably Shiny Happy People featuring Kate Pearson of the B-52s is not on it. It's the fourth and last R.E.M. song to reach the US top 10. It reached number 6 in the UK. It was the only song to do reach top 10 in both countries. Their massive worldwide hit. And Michael Stipe said, it's a fruity pop song written for children. If there were one song that was sent into outer space to represent R.E.M. for the rest of time, I would not want it to be Shiny Happy People.
That's not how best of albums work,
yeah.
Michael.
And especially, they didn't include that, but they did include Stand, which noted in the album lining, It was written specifically as a nonsense song for them to test out their new wah wah pedal.
It's a good song.
It's
What's the Frequency Kenneth on it?
Yes, I think so. Yes, oh, yeah, a lot of good songs on that.
Who was Kenneth? Was that their producer?
There is a story behind that. I might have to look it up. I might put it in the outro to show what the story that is. But I know there's a. It might be to do with a mass shooting. I can't remember exactly.
Oh,
a bit like I Don't Like Mondays. It might be that sort of genesis. I looked up some people who released Greatest Hits albums having a very meagre back catalogue. For example, Adele had a Greatest Hits album come out after her second album.
Well, I was just looking at some lists of things, and last year, I think it was, or in the recent past, these four... artists have released best ofs.
Lovely.
Keane. Name three Keane songs.
I can name three footballers with the surname Keane.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody's Nickel- changing. That's the one that I know.
Nickelback. Dido.
She had one album.
Danny Minogue.
That's amazing. Please add to that list the likes of Hanson, Peter Andre.
Come on. No. You leave Hanson out of this.
Was Hanson's best of just bop 12 times in a row?
Hanson kept releasing music and kept touring. They've not been on a major label
for
a long time.
My favourite thing about Hanson is bop came out 5 years after the band formed. That is the youngest kid in Hanson? He was 6 when the band started. He's 11 by the time Umbop comes out. I think they're sort of still touring.
They're bringing out a bunch of stuff now.
Yeah, 25th anniversary. Yeah.
25th anniversary?
Of Umbop.
Yeah, the 20th of Umbop. 25th since they got together, yeah.
It was 25 years today.
20 years ago today, Umbop came to play.
It's been going out of style. also, The Crazy Frog and Bob the Builder have Greatest Hits albums.
Albums?
Yes. You know, collections.
I imagine that the only place where it still has those in their record collection is Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, we're ring, ding, ding, ding.
And that made me think of One Hit Wonders specifically. Yep. And obviously there's a lot of people who have had One Hit Wonders who then went on to release Greatest Hits albums. Ray Parker Jr. being one of them. Have you read about Ray Parker Jr.?
No, but please go on.
Yeah, the Ghostbusters theme tune, obviously written and performed by him, with Carly Simon on background vocals. I did not know that.
Yeah.
The Ghostbusters soundtrack has three versions of the Ghostbusters theme music on it. Thankfully, Ray Parker Jr.'s album only has one version on it. Do you know it was nominated for an Oscar, that song, as well? Yeah.
Wouldn't say why not.
Yeah, it was nominated. Lost to Stevie Wonder's I Just Called to Say I Love
You. No, there's no fucking justice in the world.
Was that written specifically for a film?
It seems like it must have been, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was written for High Fidelity.
Another artist said that they were approached to write the theme music for Ghostbusters, and that was Lindsay Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And Huey Lewis, who said at the time he was too busy doing the music for Back to the Future, working on Back to the Future. But Ray Parker Jr. was later sued by Huey Lewis because the Ghostbusters theme song is too similar to I Want a New Drug, a Huey Lewis song. And they settled out of court. But in 2001, on an episode of Behind the Music, Huey Lewis let slip that actually Columbia had paid him out. So essentially he had won this case. And then Ray Parker Jr. sued Huey Lewis for breaching confidentiality.
So that's presumably they tried to get Huey Lewis. Then they got someone else and the record company went, make it like Huey Lewis.
Yes, yeah. and the most 80s court the most 80s court battle ever ensued between Huey Lewis and Ray Parker Jr. So as compilation albums go,
Huey Lewis in the news.
As compilation albums go, hanging its hat on the Ghostbusters theme tune, a song that made its money through underhand means, is pretty low on my list. I'm going to mention a couple of our old favourites, old fan favourites from past episodes of Worst Foot Forward, Ben. The Best of Shaquille O'Neal is an album that exists. Shaquille O'Neal we talked about in his seminal movie Kazam. I just found some track listings from Shaq's album. By the way, The Best of Shaquille O'Neal is the first compilation and third album overall from Shaq, which was released in November 1996, just days before his fourth album came out.
He's a creative dynamo.
He's just
Shark.
Everything. He's just
he
paved the way.
He guest hosted Jimmy Kimmel last week.
He did, yeah. He was dreadful.
Very bad.
Yeah, not good at all. Songs from the album include I'm Outstanding, Shoot, Pass, Slam, Mic Check 1-2, which I definitely feel was just like him talking into the microphone warming up, and they went, that'll do, that's better than anything else he's done on purpose. I Know I Got Skills with a Z. And two versions of a song called Biological Don't Bother, a love song to his mum's new husband.
That is a cutting title.
Yeah, isn't it? not as bad, maybe, as Milli Vanilli's greatest hits. We talked about the tragic story of Milli Vanilli when we talked about the world's worst musical duos, who were revealed to be lip-syncing frauds after a track skipped when they were performing a live show. And they released a Greatest Hits album, Milli Vanilli's Greatest Hits, or MV2x2. And the Milli Vanilli were so huge. I'm going back to this. They had 5 singles in the US top 10 in the space of a year. 3 of them reached number 1. It's like they were just the biggest thing on earth before the scandal destroyed them. I didn't know that the record company had destroyed the original files of Girl, You Know It's True after the whole thing came out, just to stop it going any further. But there was then an album release called The Real Milli Vanilli, The Moment of Truth. And it was released with a photo of 4 men and 1 woman on the front. So thinking, okay, finally, we're coming clean. These are the people who actually performed the Milli Vanilli songs. It's not Rob and Fab, the two boys have been fronting it. It's the real guys. And the photo is of some of the singers, but not all of the singers. It includes Gina Muhammad and Icy Bro and Ray Horton, who remain not the people who were performing the Milli Vanilli songs. The guys...
And presumably not Ray Horton, the football manager.
No, I don't think so, no. The album cover is like...
that would be a scoop.
What a turn up for the books that would be.
Yeah, and you can get him in the Now game and in the Island 94 game as well.
The album has, like, the 3 people in the middle are sort of highlighted by the lighting, and they seem like the main singers in the group. And then the 2 people on the outer edges are sort of slightly darkened and not even kind of in the photo. And they're the 2 people who are the main singers. So even at that point, they're still not really showing the main members of the band. But I went to one last fan favourite, Ben, to find my candidate. That was Elvis.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you heard of the album Having Fun with Elvis on Stage? Oh, boys, this is a treat. 1974. So Elvis was still alive when this came out. And it's an album largely composed of the banter and jokes from an Elvis concert with none of the songs left in. So it's just been, you know, stitched together with all of the context stripped out. No music. It's just Elvis chatting to audiences. And
this is when it brings me my 6 scores.
Yeah. Which is a reference to a Bill Hicks bootleg.
The best thing about it, it's considered one of the worst albums ever released by an artist, ever. But that's not my suggestion. My suggestion is one that came out after Elvis died, in 1982, compiled by a bootlegger called Richard. And it's comprised of largely the diegetic music from a lot of Elvis's movies from the 60s. And it was released in 1982, as I said, and it's called Elvis's Greatest Shit. And one of my favourite things about this is I went on Wikipedia, and the Wikipedia article says, critics largely agree that the posthumous compiler of the record succeeded in picking Presley's worst work. And you know the way you get these sentences on Wikipedia, and they'll often be the no citation needed brackets after it. This has not got the no citation needed. Instead, it has 10 references for that quote to really back up how much critics hated this. As I say, it was assembled by this bootlegger. And it's assembled as a hit job. He thought Elvis fans just adore the king far too much, and so he's going to undercut this by compiling this terrible, terrible tracks into one album. It includes outtakes of Elvis singing Can't Help Falling in Love. And at one point, he fucks it up and just goes, oh, shit. How's it go again? Hot tamale. What's that bit again?
Hot tamale?
Hot tamale, yes. Yeah,
do you know what? I'm almost tempted to remove it from the world's worst choice, because hot tamale is a great swear word.
I don't think that can count.
Well, listen.
It's not Greatest Hits, is it?
What, it's an outtakes album?
You just said
It's a
you just said it's a hit job.
It's not a hit job.
It's not a greatest hit.
It's a compilation album.
Don't worry, Tom, because my suggestions are fucking tenuous as well.
Oh, wow. You might be setting yourself up for a victory here. The other tracks on it include Elvis sings a rockabilly version of Old MacDonald, a song called Yoga Is As Yoga Does, the Song of the Shrimp, the Fort Lauderdale Chamber of Commerce. The bullfighter was a lady. He's your uncle, not your dad.
He's on song titles. He's just a random word generator having a breakdown.
Best one of all, Dominic the Impotent Bull. Dominic, the best name for a bull ever, I think. The album cover has the photo of Elvis in a coffin. And it's the photo taken by his cousin, which was sold to the National Enquirer shortly after Elvis died. That's really creepy. Yeah, really creepy.
Oy.
Yeah, bad taste goes even further. I think the record includes in the sleeve liner a prescription by George Nikopoulos, one of Elvis's doctors. You know, the guy who was overprescribing him pills at the time he died.
It's the way all the greats go out.
It's the way, yeah. God rest you, Michael Jackson. On the front of it includes a pull quote about the album. This record is about as funny as a turd in a punch bowl. And the logo, the record label, is described on various prints of the album as either dog vomit or RCA victim, not RCA Victor. And it includes the picture of the dog with the gramophone, Nipper the dog, but the dog is vomiting into the mouth of the gramophone. And yeah, the subtitle to it is 50 million Elvis fans can be wrong. Because there was an Elvis album, 50 million Elvis fans can't be wrong. So yes, I think as far as worst compilation albums go, Elvis's greatest shit, self-confessed, and having listened to one of the discs this morning, it's really bad, guys. I'm going to put the link to it on Twitter when this episode goes out. Some of the songs are phoned in at best, I've heard better jingles for Danish bacon in my
life. I think I go through the criteria of it. Why do I think this counts? Okay. It has to be released like with the by whoever put it out of being the greatest hits. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, they all try and make money, but that's. So it's and to qualify as a word, it's got to really be post Sergeant Pepper, I think, because before that no one really made albums. It was singles mm-hmm. to get together. Yeah. That was when things changed in terms of
approaching.
Before that, you're probably right to get a greatest hits album.
Yeah,
it's my point.
Yeah.
So to qualify as the word, it's got to be after that when there were better options. I'm not saying that all greatest hits are bad. You know, Legends pretty good, and some of the albums that some of the songs come from aren't great.
Yeah.
So why not buy Legend? Why not? I mean, ABBA Gold. I would argue that you probably should listen to some of the albums, because if you haven't heard If It Wasn't for the Nights, then, you know, have a look at yourself.
You haven't lived.
which is, of course, second side of Voulez-Vous. to make a good greatest hits album, I think you've got to have some methodology of how you put it together, certainly with the track listing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do it chronologically? That would makes a lot of sense, gives you a sense of the album scope.
It's a problem if the career peters out after a starburst yes. beginning.
It is a bit. And so my pick is Radiohead, The Best Of.
Ooh, interesting.
The track makes no sense. It was released against the band's wishes.
Oh, right. That's always good. It's a good sign.
Everything's done against Radiohead's wishes. They're such a miserable bunch.
And there is no reason for you to own this the record. There is no reason. Just buy the Benz and OK Computer and Kid A and In Rainbows and Hail to the Thief. Or just one of them. Any one of those is a better listening experience than listening to that. It makes absolutely no sense.
What's wrong with the album listing, the track listing?
OK, so, well, I love making nowadays, playlists on Spotify. I was about to say mixtapes.
Fun fact about the Now series, the last cassette version of the Now series came out what year?
2006.
At the point at which people had already gone through, you know, CDs, mini discs, and were onto MP3.
There was something particularly pleasing about a now cassette tape because it was those chunky double tapes that were such a pain to take around everywhere.
And if I do a playlist for a specific band or artist, I have a strict set of rules as to maximum 5 songs per album, minimum 1 song per album, strict chronological order in order of release, or if you know it, and their recording date, if there's some shuftying about. So what do you think the first song on Radiohead's Best Of is?
Oh, I'm not. I don't know when thing. I mean, Creep. It's got to be something.
Should
like
be Creep. It should be Creep. Like there's
that kind of sets
there
the tone.
Because then, are you going to pick any other song from Pablo Honey?
No.
So, representative of the first album, put it at the start. It's for everyone. No, like it makes zero sense to. No, they start with Just from the Bends. And what do you think comes next?
I mean, I would say maybe the Bends from the Bends might make sense, or maybe, I don't know, maybe even like Paranoid Android.
Paranoid, that's good. Yeah, something like that.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. Creep comes fourth, in between two OK Computer songs.
So they're jumping forward. They've gone start with the second one.
Bends, OK Computer, OK Computer. Creep, OK Computer. Bends. Hail to the Thief, OK Computer. Kid A, Bends. Kid A, Hail to the Thief. Bends, Amnesiac.
So it's
Bends, Kid A, Amnesiac.
It makes. It's basically like having the best of the Beatles and opening with Tomorrow Never Knows, then going to I Saw Her Standing There, and then back to I Am the Walrus.
So, with the Beatles, Tomorrow Never Knows would come second. I think I think that's the Paranoid Android. and then maybe you put Taxman or something. Yeah. Opening with Taxman and then going back to I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Yeah.
That's track four.
Yeah, and then track six is the Quarrymen for no good reason.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
But it wasn't released with their consent, as you said.
No.
So someone else compiled it, obviously.
Yeah, because, you know, when they sort of decouple and then release the next record in Rainbows themselves.
Yes, yeah. Decoupled, consciously uncoupling.
So the record company still had the right to do it.
Yes,
but if they, I think they've all said that if they had any hand in it, they might have been able to put out one that they were like, oh okay, that'll do.
Hmm. That's what it should have been called, the Best of Radiohead. That'll do.
Yeah.
Right.
That'll do, pig tied to a winter stick. That's a frozen winter stick.
No, that'll do, Gucci little piggy. That's what it should be called. Okay.
Have you compiled a Radiohead Best of Spotify?
I haven't finished it.
Are you working on it?
Yeah.
With the band's consent?
I've tweeted them all, but...
This is Tom's magnum opus right here.
Well, no, I'm currently working on my second volume of... Mountain Goats.
Who? Are they a band or?
Yeah. Just the greatest band that existed.
Oh, I thought they were just some goats that maybe bleated.
No, they're amazing.
Where are they
from? He's from California, but okay. He lives in North Carolina now.
Lovely.
They were the real fun mixtape game, which you can play a Radiohead version as well, but is to take the White Album and turn it from a double album into a single album. Which is tricky, and I will say this now, I will fight to the death any fucker who tries to remove Rocky Raccoon from that album.
Oh yeah.
And the Radiohead version is to take Kid A and Amnesiac and turn them into one album.
And then you get Kid A. but you take out what's the one with Floating Along the Liffey? Take that out and put a Pyramid song in, and then you've got the best album between the two.
The thing with cutting down the White Album is you don't have to get the number of tracks down, just the play length. By taking out like Revolution 9 and a couple of others, it's about the length of a single album once you take some of them out.
Yeah.
It's an easier prospect.
It is. The tricky thing with it is there's some songs that are so self-indulgent, but because it's the greatest group of all time being self-indulgent, they're still sort of delightful.
It is my favourite Beatles record.
Aren't their best hits ones called the Red and the Blue album or something?
Yes. Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah.
Well, officially called
62 to 65 and 66 to 70.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a good way of doing greatest hits album, I think.
And then there's also the Past Masters, which are very good.
Mm.
Yeah. Black and White.
Which have like some of their German singles on, like She Loves You.
Schlieb dich, ja, ja, ja. Schlieb dich, ja, ja, ja. Gubba gibba gan dan. I can't remember. And then
it basically
she come a gibba dine hand.
She come a gibba dine hand. It's like those singles are from an alternate universe where the Nazis won the Second World War.
It's like the Monty Python German videos. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
The Monty Python were brought over to Germany to film some of their sketches in German to do a show for a
basically,
German TV
show. And have something completely different.
Yeah.
They basically did that, but in German. They did the 2-3 episodes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've watched loads of bits of it.
That's disturbing.
They were given quite a lot of money to do it, I think.
Of course, I love things. I'm quite a big Spanish pop fan, but only for songs that have been released in English, and then I only learn the Spanish lyrics.
Is that me with 99 Luftballons, which I will obnoxiously sing along to in German, even when I'm hearing it in English.
Si pudiera ser tu héroe, si pudiera ser tu dios.
This is Hero.
Voy salvarte mil veces. Puede ser mi salvación.
Listers, and Tom Tuck sings the back catalogue of Enrique Iglesias is coming to Spotify soon.
And La tela de la araña, la uña del dragón, te lleva a los infiernos, ya es tu adicción. Te besa y te desnuda con su baile demencial, te cierre los ojitos y te dejas arrastrar, te dejas arrastrar. Ella es tu final, live la vida loca. Y
no, you have to sing Live la vida loca in English.
No, you
don't. Living the crazy lifestyle. I had dragon at the start of that, I thought it was Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, no, the lyrics are completely different.
Really?
It is true, yeah. The lyrics for 99 Luftballons, I've read that the English translation is very different to the German
lyrics. Well, because
the things
don't scan,
they don't scan at all. Yeah, yeah.
Ah.
So you just catch the flavour of it.
Y en un rincón caímos juntos en rito de pasión. No? That's her. She bangs. I mean, like, she moves.
This is the
best thing about this is Tom is the sort of person you would expect to see wearing tweed, smoking a cap and drinking port, listening to a gramophone, but here he is singing some great Spanish pop.
You mentioned before Queen's Greatest Hits 3,
yeah.
An utterly unnecessary album.
Yeah, because the Greatest Hits 1 is basically the 70s, Greatest Hits 2 is basically the 80s.
Greatest Hits 3 is Too Much Love Will Kill You and some other stuff.
Yeah,
yes.
It's after Freddie dies.
It is long after Freddie dies. Yeah. The one thing in its favour is that it has one of the greatest songs of all time on, which is
Barcelona! I'm glad we were in unison.
Yeah.
One of the finest moments of my life was couple of years ago. I did a half marathon for the first time, and I probably spent more time putting together the playlist that I was going to listen to than training. But I put it together and then hit it on shuffle play, and then sort of sweated my way through for.
I'm relatively against shuffle in almost all situations.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's really not a good tactic in a half marathon. It takes fucking ages if you shuffle through that. But I was running through, and my running playlist is a mixture of hair metal and show tunes, and that'll really motivate you through. And as I got about 800 metres from the line, Barcelona came on, and I went from second gear to sixth gear so quickly. I felt fucking triumphant. It was great.
Does have Under Pressure with Bowie as well.
No, it doesn't have Under Pressure. It has a remix of Under Pressure.
Oh yes, that's right, it does.
Yeah,
have
or to call it, or as it is listed on Wikipedia, Under Pressure, the Ra mix.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know who Ra is or what he thinks he's doing remixing one of the
five. He's the sun god, so leave him alone.
It's got the another one Bites the Dust with Wyclef Jean on it as well.
That's the Anubis mix.
Yeah.
Strange enough, no Isis mix these days.
I wonder about that Dylan song. Whether
that's true, isn't it? There's a, yeah.
Yeah, I married Isis.
I married Isis on the first day of May. I could not hold on to her very long.
There were several places. Isn't there like an international
social institutes of studies or something. There's various different businesses, I think, over the last 5 years have had to change their acronyms, well, the order of
the
their
dog,
words.
The dog in Downton Abbey, the that's spy right. agency in Archer.
Yes, that's true.
Tricky thing that we got at the end of our street, we've got a hairdresser's that is called Stasi.
Oh, I mean, yes, that's
had,
right.
They've
yeah.
had more than enough time to change that
spelt
name. Stasi.
Jeez.
As in the Stasi. Like, I wouldn't want to
I
sit in
I thought it was going
to
be like Stormzy.
No.
Wait, he's a rapper, right?
Yeah, grime
artist.
Okay, fine. We both see, it's not easy for me. Unless they call themselves, like, Chance the Rapper, I don't know what they are. I need, like, they need to be,
like Tyler,
Stormzy.
Tyler, the Creator.
Who?
He's a rapper.
Is he not a god?
Well, there's also Tyler the Maintainer and Tyler the Destroyer.
It's the Holy Trinity. I heard one of his songs and there was one lyric. I was like, right, well, you're now my new favourite and I will listen to everything you ever want to say. I'm going to stab Bruno Mars in his goddamn esophagus.
Is that
I'm
a lyric?
In. I'm in.
Is that a lyric?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm going to stab Bruno Mars in his goddamn esophagus. And I cannot agree more wholeheartedly with that message.
I agree.
If you take anything away from this, go and stab Bruno Mars in his esophagus.
Does he manage to rhyme anything with esophagus? Because the only thing I was thinking Snuffleupagus.
Fun fact, R.E.M. performed Shiny Happy People on Sesame Street.
Yes, they did. Yes. Shiny Happy Monsters.
Yeah, Furry Happy Monsters, yeah.
Have you seen Prince doing Starfish and Coffee on?
No.
Oh, it's incredible.
Oh, so good.
The most beautiful Muppets music crossover they do While My Guitar Gently Weeps. Mm. And just before the solo, Floyd just turns to his guitar and goes, shh, don't worry, baby, Floyd's going to sing you a lullaby. It is the most beautiful thing any man has said to a musical instrument ever.
But then to put those two things together, have you seen Prince playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps at the George Harrison benefit thing?
No.
Oh my days.
That sounds like something of too high a quality to talk about on this podcast.
But, I mean, it may be the worst, like, upstaging moment. Because you start watching it and it's got, like, Danny Harrison is playing, Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, I think.
Wilbury's
there. There's like a big crowd of people. And you don't notice Prince is there, which is odd, because when you do notice him, it's like, oh, he's dressed like that. I should have noticed him before. But he's deliberately standing out of the way.
Yeah.
And then he comes on to do the solo, and then he just blows everyone else out of the water. But in sort of, at one point, you can just see Danny Harrison's face go, what? I can't believe this. And then he's clearly arranged for a minder to be standing in the crowd. So he just like falls backwards into the crowd and there's one guy who catches him, puts him back up. He just keeps playing.
Amazing.
And at the end of it, he throws his guitar in the air and it doesn't come down.
That is the absolute antithesis of what George Harrison was as a guitarist as well.
I know. So it might be that but I've watched it so many times.
Yeah,
because it is astonishing.
Yeah, it's one of that. Like when they had the Freddie Mercury concert in Wembley after Freddie's death. And it's kind of a middling concert until, you know, George Michael comes out and sings with them. And then you go, oh my God, you are like, Freddie was awesome. You're nearly as good as Freddie.
Yeah, there's when George Michael died last year, there was a video going around of him rehearsing that, and it's incredible. You just see in the background like Madonna and Bowie sharing a fag, and basically all these superstars watching him blast this out with very little accompaniment, and at the end, everyone, including Bowie, just does a little nod of that'll do.
But for those of you who want the best memorial concert, it is Jim Henson's memorial in St. Paul's Cathedral, which if you haven't ever seen, go home, YouTube it, buy a packet of tissues before you do. You will cry.
Yeah, because it's really...
Right. If you're into puppet fisting, this is the show.
A bit bad.
And bears. If you like a bear. Snuffy shows up as well.
Oh, yeah. With Bruno Mars' esophagus at the end of his trunk. Since we're talking about fictional creatures who deserve to be fisted, the Smurfs.
Oh, no.
Now, when I was 13 years old, I thought that looking back, I think I had pretty good taste in music, because that would be 1996, so I had the Bends, I was into Ash, probably the Verve second album, a bit spiritualised, but I know as well that I own the album The Smurfs Go Pop. and I proudly bought it. And the track listing on here includes Smurfs Are Back, which is basically a cover of No Limit, Mr. Smurf-tastic, I've Got a Little Puppy, which was a redo of I Want to Be a Hippie. And
is that Osmonds?
The Osmonds? No, it's Technohead.
Oh.
As in, I want to be a hippie and I want to get stoned on marijuana.
I want to be a puppy. They'd Smurfs did that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
And they even did Smurf Hillbilly Joe to the tune of Cotton Eye Joe. And I was almost going to suggest this, but it's technically more of a covers album than a compilation album.
Yeah, so, I don't think they all had home albums. Yeah.
Well, we didn't have the Smurfs' original compositions, did we? Like, these are all covers. Did they have a compilation album?
No, I don't think they do.
Oh, that's such a shame.
I'd have loved to see the Smurfs, a bit like...
Weezer.
Yeah.
While you're confessing, the first album I ever bought with my own money out of my own pocket was Paint the Sky with Stars, the Best of Enya.
Oh, one of my favourite lines.
Is that reduced as a sin by about 75% by the fact you are Irish?
I've been, barely.
I think the first... I bought two tapes. The first ones I bought with my own money. Cream Greatest Hits 2, because we already had a copy of one in the house, and Guns N' Roses Edition 1.
Nicely done.
Yeah. Which is, I think they're still the only band ever to occupy the number one and number two spots in the UK albums chart at the same time.
That's a good thing to do.
And Usolution 2 was number one.
That's the album chart version of East 54445. Just use your Illusion 2 as a number one, use Illusion 1 as a number two.
And then for CDs I bought were Aerosmith Big Ones and Nirvana Unplugged.
Good. Well, that's better. That sort of gets back your screen.
Those are my four favourite artists when I was like 13, 14.
Mm. Oh, well done you. I mean, I remember when I was about eight, I got like book tokens for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Smith.
And, yeah. Got CDs. But,
I bought, now I don't know how long have it been? It was 1994, so I've been 10 or 11, and I bought The Score by the Fugees, and then I bought, because I was really into comedy at the time, I bought two Derek and Clive tapes.
Oh, wow.
And then 10 or 11? Yeah, and I put them on, and I was such a good boy. I went to my dad with all three of them and was like, I don't think these are for me, Dad.
Oh,
but, my old man's a Dash Murdy, where's it? Dash Murdy, he's got fucking cancer.
Yeah, the Fugees were in a very unusual mood when they recorded that. But my.
In a way, isn't Derek and Clive the very first podcast?
Discuss. There's probably a podcast out there about it already, let's be honest.
Yeah, almost certainly. But my choice, my proposition for this needs a little story. About 7-8 years ago, I was doing a wee little comedy festival in Gosport near Portsmouth. And I was hosting like a 6-7 hour stage, which is a pretty tough thing to do. Have you ever hosted a stage for a long time?
Not at a festival, but like... Well, you know, one of those day festivals.
Yeah. It was one of those. And so the audience's attention span will waver here and there. And and the first half went pretty well. Came out for the second half. They were pretty hammered. I introduced a comedian who for the moment will be known as John, because that's his first name. But that's all you're getting. And he came on and he was a proper old school act whose jokes clearly hadn't changed for about 20 years.
Tom's face has now gone into going through his finer facts of comedians called John.
He... proceeded to die fairly painfully for the next 15 minutes. Mm. The only joke that vaguely hit was this. He pulled out a CD. This is a ridiculous CD that I just bought yesterday. It's called The Only Classical Album You'll Ever Need.
Oh, yeah.
Two. Which is definitely a compilation album and was pretty solid. He then proceeded to die again for the next 5 minutes and died very, very badly. And he left stage. I came back on as the compere and it was in that situation as a combat, you've got to try and just get the room going again.
Yeah.
So I sort of took the piss a little bit, got them laughing again, at which point John realised he'd forgotten his CD.
No, no.
And so he then walked across the stage to pick up his CD, at which point my brain got the better of my mouth and went, oh, there's John coming back to pick up his joke. And
Mike.
He went fucking nuts at me and went for me and tried to start a fight with me, whilst me, a very fledgling comedian, was trying desperately to put the room back together after he died on his arse. And he had to be escorted out of the room by other comedians so he didn't, in his words, kick the shit out of me, Vanderfuck. And because of that rather humbling situation, I have decided that the only classical album you'll ever need two is my selection for the world's worst best of.
Do you know what's on it?
Mozart, that shit.
can we get the track listing?
Let's have a look. Let's see if it's on. Let's see if it was famous enough. I've got the only classical album you'll ever need one.
I think he might have made up the second one for a joke.
Ah, boom.
Then you can't have it, can you?
I mean, what's happened here, Tom, is that you have tried pretty successfully to disqualify mine and Barry's suggestions.
I am relatively competitive.
people who bought this album also bought Cliff Richard's Stronger Through the Years, Hotel California, Classic Chill Out, and 12-inch 80s.
Ooh, that is a horrible porn film.
Yeah, that is not a good name for it.
Better than 18 inch 12s.
Yeah. Right, let us decide what's going to be the winner. Is it going to be Barry's suggestion of Elvis's greatest shit? Is it going to be Tom's of the best of Radiohead? Or is it going to be mine of the only classical album you'll need in the world, too? I mean, I sort of feel like I've already said what's going to be the winner, because I was going to say before you mentioned the Radiohead, I was tempted to put forward like the best of Pink Floyd or the best of the Beatles, because if you're buying the best of albums for the best of bands for bands that are classic albums bands, you're not a proper music fan.
Well, Pink Floyd, I agree with you there. Beatles, though, Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields Forever aren't on a record, so you're actually forgiven, I think.
I mean, I think, Tom, it's got to be your selection, because I can't pick Elvis, and it's not really a compilation album. Mine is a very personal thing, whereas yours fit something that would anger me. It's not that the songs are bad, it's that the album and its compilation, its composition.
And it's that classic thing of a great band's great music mangled by being smashed all together in the wrong way.
And also all the people who think that Radiohead are just really depressing will really enjoy this conclusion we've come to. So before we go, the world's worst news of the week. This is news from Bournemouth, where a fisherman called Sam Quilliam was left close to death after a fish he caught on the pier wriggled down his windpipe and caused a blockage. He caught a 14-inch Dover sole, and I've got a picture here.
Now I remember him. I think we met the last time I went to a gay sauna.
Yeah. is the Dover sole your gay cruising name?
Yeah, the Dover sole. My 14-inch Dover sole.
Because both eyes are on one side.
Yeah. And it's to be fair, it's always best enjoyed on the bone.
If you can fill it. And fin.
Oh man. Oh, it was worth it for that.
Yeah. The reason why it's the world's worst news is not that he almost died. It's the fact that having swallowed a fish and almost died, he's gone, yeah, I'll probably kiss another fish again.
What?
Because that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to kiss the fish, and the fish leapt into his throat. And I don't know whether
that's where the moisture is.
Yeah.
Off I go.
I need some air.
Yeah, Tom Tuck will be producing his 2019 Edinburgh show, The Inner Monologues of Fish.
Seriously, watching Blue Planet with me is very funny.
That needs to be on the DVD, the extras. Well,
actually, if I forget to plug something, the Fringe, I did Tom Tuck Sings the Mountain Goats.
Oh, yes.
Because Mark Watson did his Festival of Bad Ideas.
Yeah.
And he rang me up, I bet you've got a bad idea, Tom. You bet I do. Tom Tuck sings the songs of a band no one's ever heard of for an hour and a half with a full band. And he went, yep, that sounds terrible. And it sold out. But they all came from Mark Watson.
and bad ideas.
And, you know, Watson just introduced it. Then I sang Mountain Goat songs for an hour and a half with the full band. People were like, really?
I imagine that was like the scene in Man on the Moon where Andy Kaufman reads the entirety of The Great Gatsby.
Yeah.
It was really quite confrontational.
The thing is,
we kept everyone there for an hour. Some people then left, like presumably to go to another show, but everyone stayed. Pleasant was trying to kick us out. And we haven't played this year yet. I was like, we don't care. We need to go home.
I said Tom Tuck would sing the Mountain Goats. I have to do it all.
Well, you can't do it all. Jesus. There one week.
That's next year's show.
Well, maybe, but we were going to do a London show.
Oh, excellent.
At some point.
Very good.
January or February.
Mm, that's cool. So. Do you have anything else to plug, and where can people find you?
I totally got across the internet.
Of course they can.
Totally got on Twitter, totallygod.com, which maybe I'll update so it doesn't have things from two fringes ago.
Lovely stuff. Well, thank you for listening, ladies and gents. We're all off to have Barry and Tom say all of the comedians with the name John in them to me until they go, yup, that one.
Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah, until next time. Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom, for picking the cheeriest, happiest party time band in the world.
Yeah, that was great fun to record. Tom, just a wealth of trivia.
Yeah, he really is. He is.
I once had a drink with him where he sat in silence for about 15 minutes trying to puzzle out the answer to a question about world nations ending and beginning in the same letters.
Wow, he's a bag of trivia in a rather spiffy moustache. And also that game, I forgot the name of it that we played with him, but Squad Goals. Man, that has set me up nice and sweet for future long journeys.
Mm. Oh, yeah, his Facebook status is where he occasionally just posts cryptic crossword clues. They make an afternoon pass.
I mean, Tom said in the podcast he's very bad at having a career. And when I look at things like that, the amount of time he puts into things which don't earn him any money whatsoever, but are a very entertaining use of his time.
Yeah, that's what sets him and Van Gogh apart. Yeah. As long as Tuck doesn't cut an ear off.
Tuck would never do anything like that. It's far too vain.
If you enjoyed this, as ever, firstly, of course, check out Tom on all the interwebs, TurlyGod in most places. And check us out as well. We're on at WorstFoot on Twitter, WorstFootForward on Facebook, or drop us an email to WorstFootForwardPodcast@gmail.com.
You can, when you're doing that, send fun things into us. So a couple of episodes ago, we did the world's worst cocktail. We hope that many of you have enjoyed them. And long-time listener and friend of the podcast, Michael Ritchie, sent us a frankly disgusting-looking cocktail. It's called the 13th Century Boy. The primary ingredient was a lemon rind that had been mummified in salt for a month. And to look at it, it's got a weird Russian doll effect where it's like a pottery vase with the smaller pottery vase on the side of it with something that resembles earwax in it.
Mm.
It looks pointlessly disgusting.
What about the phrase mummified lemon rind doesn't scream taste to you?
Yeah, that screams rejected by Heston Blumenthal to me.
Yeah.
So if you've listened to any of our podcasts and you have experienced something on brand that was particularly awful, pop us a tweet or a text.
Send us a telegram.
That's a pigeon at the window now. Send them in and we will share them with our terrible community.
Next week, exciting times. It's our golden wedding anniversary. It's our 50th episode next week. Thank the Lord we're both still alive. And we're joined, I mean, from the past year, it's been on a knife edge. We're joined by the excellent Sam Liebens, an old school chum of yours.
Not a school chum. An old Jew camp friend of mine.
That's right, yes, Jew camp. It's not what it sounds
like. It's not what it sounds like. It's a Jewish youth camp, yes. which sounds like Junior Mossad. It was mostly a bunch of British Jews taking over a public school and learning.
I'm imagining a CITV program called Mossad Juniors.
Mossad High.
Yeah.
Barry, I think we might just have made our millions.
Oh, there we go. It's happened again.
Yeah, but it's in shekels, which isn't really very much.
Sam, among many things, many, many degrees and letters after his name, is also a rabbi. So he joined us to talk about the world's worst messiah. So tune in next week.
For the big reveal as to who's going to save us all.
We've got an extra special fourth guest on the show.
Get back in the cellar, Jesus.